The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus Christ, light of the world, be with us now in this time of worship. Thank you, John and Margaret, for your musical offering, helping us to turn our attention to focus on the wonder and mystery of God. As you can see, we are recording the service this week in the sanctuary of St. Stephen's, and we are thankful that you are able to participate online. God, our Creator, we call you Father, Mother, Author of life. Draw us closer to you, O God. Christ, our Saviour, we call you the Son, the Messiah, the One who saves. Draw us closer to you, O God. Holy Spirit, we call you the Advocate, the Inspirer, breath and wind of God. Draw us closer to you, O God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Draw us closer to you, O God. Draw us in spirit, Christ and Creator, that we might journey with you more fully and deeply in this life and beyond. Amen.
Good morning, friends. A reminder that later on in this service, we will be participating in communion together. So if you would like to do that, you will want to have the elements assembled and ready for that part of our service. Would you join me in saying together our prayer of confession this morning?
Gracious God, your Spirit pricks our conscience, and our lives are laid bare before you. We cannot cover up the wrongs we have done and the good we have failed to do. Help us to stay in this moment and not seek to run from your judging gaze. May our guilt turn us toward you, and may we see mercy in your eyes. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Friends, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that through him the world would be saved. In his great mercy, in Jesus, God has spoken a word of healing, a word that has made us alive again in Christ. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven, so be at peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is from the very end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It is Jesus' commissioning of his disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of God.
Save a wretch like me.
Our practice on the first Sunday of the month, on our communion Sundays, we will say together a creed. This month it's the Apostles' Creed, so would you join me in that?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. It was the summer of 1980, and I was living and working in Williams Lake in the interior of BC. While I had been raised in the church, like many of my generation, it had only been recently that I had a significant experience of spiritual awakening, not dissimilar to a kind of birth, I'd say. And on top of that most remarkable thing, I'd also had some sense of call to ordered ministry. This was, of course, patently ludicrous for someone with my impressive character flaws, and my friends then might have agreed with that, and some of them today might still agree with that. But then again, God has a history of calling the unlikely, sometimes the least of his or her tribe. And so there I was, discerning with my church community this sense of call. As a part of that process, in the summer of 1980, I'd been invited back to the church that I'd grown up in, Mount Paul United Church in Kamloops. I've been asked quite reasonably to come and preach to the folk who probably knew me best. That's now some 40 years ago, and I still have that sermon. Though I have to confess that my first attempt at preaching was a bit of a dog's breakfast. I had some pretty lame illustrations, to be honest. It was not especially well organized, and I tried to include far too many biblical readings. I had something like 4 different texts that I was juggling. And remember, this was more than a decade before I arrived here at St. Stephen's, where I was kindly and gently informed by a retired minister here in the congregation that most people, himself included, found that hearing more than one scripture reading on a Sunday was just a bit too confusing. I took my clergy colleague's point to heart, and one of the things I learned along the way, and I've subsequently tried to keep things a bit simpler. But despite its lack of sophistication, that handwritten, in-pencil, double-spaced manuscript held a sermon that was, well, in part a testimony to what God had done in my life and also my sense of the direction that I was now being taken. But it was also a most earnest attempt to share what I'd experienced to be the good news of Jesus Christ. I was attempting to express the gospel. And it was from the heart. And, you know, while I love doing theology, as we call it, I really enjoy the intellectual processes that take me deeper into a scripture and find ways to connect our lives here and now to this inspired story. I also know that this thing we're about together is much more than an academic pursuit. It's very much, at least in my case, a matter of the heart. There's still something that I feel in here that stayed with me unchanged over the years, something that quickens in me when I am able to speak about Jesus and to reflect on his person and work. It's just never gotten old. And you know, in 23 days, that comes to an end. What happens then? After finishing my first ever sermon, I joined the minister of the day, Pete Ralston, at the front door, shaking hands with the worshipers. Remember when we could do that? And a face that I didn't recognize was suddenly before me, and my hand was being gripped by someone whom I've never tired of running into in the church, a visitor. We exchanged some pleasantries. Turns out he was on holiday, and so I asked him where home was and what he was holidaying from. And he told me that he taught homiletics at a distant and very well-known seminary. Oh my. My first ever sermon had been delivered to a crowd that included a teacher of preaching. Oh, good. As you might say in that biblical way, my countenance fell. He did say some encouraging things, I'm sure bolstered by the confidence that he'd never actually be required to have me in one of his classes. But what I remember most from that day was I got to share the gospel. I got to share the gospel in a particular way. And like I say, it's never gotten old. And one of those texts I'd chosen for the occasion was the one Diane read to us earlier, the final verses of the Gospel of Matthew, what's sometimes referred to as the Great Commission. It was the key Bible reading at my starting line, and just the way it's worked out, here at just about my finish line, well, here it is again, kind of bookends my preaching career. And you know, I'm not sure I want to offer a much different message than I did the first time. Of course, this occasion is Trinity Sunday. Yes, the first Sunday after Pentecost is typically one that has some special focus on the mystery of the Trinity, the notion of the Trinity being a critical element of our faith. And this Bible reading is a most appropriate one for such a day, with its explicit reference to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus directs the remaining 11 of the original 12 disciples he called to follow him at the beginning of his ministry up a mountain. And that's surely no accident. Scripturally, it's on mountains that divine encounters so often happen. And he announces to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Everything is his." This is an enormous statement. It is a bold statement that's worthy of a sermon of its own. And I would not be at all surprised if Diane were to preach one such sermon at the next Christ the King or Sovereignty of Christ service this fall. But essentially, nothing is outside of his influence. Matthew reports that Jesus said, "Therefore, go." And that use of the word "therefore" indicates that because Jesus rules, because Jesus has all authority, he is now authorizing his people for an important mission. He is about to delegate some of his work to them, to us. And that work is the following. First, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Some of you might now be thinking of our mission statement here, which is the very definition of discipleship, to follow Jesus Christ. And I know that some have struggled with that phrase, make disciples, worried that it might be in some way coercive. And well, you might want to chat with Jesus about that, but honestly, I think this is more about offering an invitation than coercion. Jesus has delegated some of that invitational work to us. But there's also our vision statement, to be a Jesus-centered, Spirit-led community, called and equipped to join in God's loving work in the world. Making disciples involves the call of disciples, the fundamental thrust of the Great Commission, but also ensuring that we're all equipped for the work we have together. Discipleship, following Jesus, is always a process. We never quite arrive, never quite move beyond apprenticeship. There's only one master. And that apprenticeship formally begins with the second instruction in the commissioning. Baptize. Baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's the public way we take on the designation as Christian, declaring that our ultimate loyalty isn't to the assortment of other gods that seek to have us bend knee before them. There's no shortage of competition for our allegiance in this world. The state, ideology, security, family, culture, all of which have their place. But their place is not in front of our faithfulness to the mysterious triune God. And the third work delegated to us is to teach disciples to obey everything that Jesus taught. That, therefore, requires knowing what Jesus taught, reading and learning the contents of the Gospels and more to find that out. And to be clear, that's more than knowing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, which he surely did. Thanks be to God. It also means, however, what it means to live in the kingdom that he inaugurated. It means knowing and living the peculiar way of the disciple. For our main teaching tool is our embodiment of the teaching. Our lives and our public witness will do an impressive amount of the teaching for us. I was thinking about that in regard to the turmoil underway in the country to our south, a place Canada has some significant relationship with economically and politically, and often personally. Many of us have friends and family who live in the United States. And it's not that the issues of race and ethnicity are unique to our American friends and neighbors. Our Canadian history invites sober reflection. Sober reflection. And you know, an honest look at my own life is not without some discomfort. As a follower of Christ, I know that Jesus scandalously but deliberately crossed the lines of ethnicity that we so often acknowledge, sometimes knowingly and too often unknowingly. How do we stand in solidarity with those who are oppressed? In something more than a well-meaning Facebook post, and particularly in a time when face-to-face relationships are so often needing to be 6 feet apart or further, how do we do this now? I'd like to tell you that I have a ready answer to that, but I'm a bit uncertain as to how to proceed. But this I know. Proceed we have to. And that proceeding needs to look and to smell and to sound a lot like Jesus. If it doesn't, it's not the right direction. It has to look and sound and smell like Jesus. Make disciples, baptize, teach. Those three elements of the Great Commission were at the heart of what I preached on those 40 years ago. You know, I think they still scan, still call us onward in a powerful way. This is the work that Jesus calls us all to be about. But you know, when I read this passage earlier this week, I stumbled over something that I hadn't seen the first time round. Time and age and experience can occasionally stop me from seeing things, unhappily. But they also sometimes can help me see some other things that I've previously missed. Our passage began with this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. See, I missed that the first time round. That some doubted. Now, maybe that meant that here, not quite 40 days after the resurrection, still processing what this might mean, some doubted that worshiping Jesus was right. Maybe some of them hadn't had the penny drop like Thomas had, who'd shifted radically from doubt to my Lord and my God. From friend and master and teacher and prophet to divine, to a person of the Trinity. Possibly. That word to doubt or to waver, it can just as rightly be translated as to hesitate. And maybe some found themselves hesitating, not prepared yet to fully commit to such a new thing, Christ the Son, with the Father and with the Spirit. I mean, it was a stunning, stunning new notion. Not a new notion to me, of course. Not for many of most, or maybe all of you. See, I've known about Jesus' divinity as long as I can remember. And for the Trinity, well, I guess nearly all of my 67 years. By the way, my birthday is June 17th, not too far away. And while I still wonder about how the Trinitarian relationship works and what it properly means, I've known about it a long time. But you know, hesitation, that's also something I know about. And you know, I bump into it more than I like to admit. You know, 40 years ago, I had the fire in my belly of a new convert. I still hold to the instruction that new converts might be best isolated for the first 6 months. Okay, just kidding. But there's a lot of excitement let loose, right? There's a boldness in the life of a new disciple, and man, it's brilliant. I love it. That's one of the secrets of the success of Alpha courses. They direct that energy released into the life of a new believer in just the way that our text today leads. It's a great gift. But here I am, 40 years later, heading into retirement in just 23 short days. And then what? What does a former pastor do? What does a former preacher do? What does discipleship look like when you've got some miles on the clock? Do you hesitate? Do you pull back? Does one retire from being a disciple? Because after all, I've done my time. Some of them hesitated. But Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Nah, we're not going to hesitate. Heck, he's still with us. Even to the end of the age, he's still with us. Thanks be to God. Friends, the peace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray.
Let's pray. O Abba Father, we come to you during these difficult times. We remember your death on the cross for us, Lord Jesus, the great exchange for our sins, and Holy Spirit, we long for your comfort. We praise your name and give you glory. We thank you for your protection of us here on Vancouver Island, and pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that continue to battle the pandemic. Bring calmness, comfort, and peace to all their hearts. During this time, you have been drawing us closer to you, and we thank you for these intimate times, special times alone with you, as we can share our deepest heart concerns with you. We continue to pray for our families that don't know you yet, and for the loneliness so many feel, especially the elderly and those in nursing homes. Give them comfort. We pray protection for all the caregivers in the nursing homes and those caring for loved ones in their homes, and for the home health aides, workers, nurses, all taking care of our community. We are so thankful to all the medical teams, grocery, pharmacy, and all the stores caring about our safety. Bless them. We pray for our neighbors to the south and the terrible destruction, and come against the anger of demonstrators. We pray comfort for the families of George Floyd, and pray peace and justice. We pray protection for the police and National Guard and others trying to bring order, especially as they are in close proximity to each other. We pray for all the leaders, mayor, governors, president, to arrange a fair and equitable policing system for the citizens. We pray for the leaders in each state and the president and cabinet trying to restore order, praying wisdom for them all, praying for peace to be restored. And Lord, we look forward to our coming home to be with you one day, as you have given us this time to think on our future home with you. God, you are so good, and we thank you for your unconditional love, compassion, and caring for us as we go out in the world to reflect the same love to others. Shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Amen.
Friends, thank you once again for your faithful giving this week. And please join me now in prayer as we offer our gifts to God for use in his mission in this world.
O God, receive these our offerings, which we give for the mission and service of your church. Accept with them the worship of our hearts and lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome, friends, to the service of the table. As you can see, Diana and I are perilously close to one another. We've just accepted the fact that our work and our friendship between our families allows us to kind of put our social bubbles together. So we're not generally encouraging this, but it's what we're doing. And so let's begin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made a covenant with us to be your sovereign God and spoke to us through your prophets. So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery of sin to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. We remember that when Jesus ate with his friends, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God, made in my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me." Loving God, we rejoice in the gift of your grace, remembering Christ's life and death, proclaiming his resurrection, waiting in hope for his coming again. Grant that in praise and thanksgiving, we may so offer ourselves to you that our lives may proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send, O God, your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who share in this loaf and cup may be the body of Christ, light, life, and love in the world. In this hope and as your people, we praise you. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer after communion. We bless you, O God, for gifts of bread and cup, for sustaining us in hope every day of our lives. We pray for your strength to prepare us now for your service as we offer to you lives of witness and worship in the world you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have a few announcements for this week. The first is a reminder that we actually email out announcements every Thursday to the church email list. If you've been watching online and you're interested in receiving those email announcements and you don't now, please just call the church office or email through the website and we can get you signed up for those. It's really a great way to get all the information of what's going on and in this time, anything that's changing in our way of being. So if you're interested, call the church office and Adele will get you set up. Also, we have some people who have been inquiring about how they can give. We have four options for you to give to the work of St. Stephen's right now. One is pre-authorized remittance, where we get it set up so that it's a regular withdrawal from your bank account. And again, you can call the church office if you'd like to explore that. If you have envelopes, you can mail your envelope into the church address. You can give online via the website. There is a Give Online button that lets you do that. And of course, you can e-transfer if you do electronic banking. Finally, we have some happy news this week. There's a couple in the congregation. Peter and Claire Tyler are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Both Phil and I felt like that must mean they were about five when they got married, but because they don't seem old enough to have been married for 50 years. But on behalf of the congregation, Peter and Claire, congratulations and well done. Now for our blessing. Friends, go out, and in all of life, worship the Lord. Entrust yourself to the winds of God's Spirit. Put to death selfish desires and offer yourself to God's mission in this world. And may God give strength to you and to all. May Christ Jesus bless you with peace. And may the Holy Spirit, whispering in your hearts, give you assurance that you are God's children. Go in peace. Go in love. Go in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.